Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Winging a foul tip into the mitt. Strike three. The ball game is over. The Red Sox roll over the Toronto Blue Jays 12-2. They hit five home runs. Velasquez striking out the side in the ninth inning in 2 hours, 56 minutes. The Red Sox go back to 3 over .500 at 25-22 with a 12-2 romp at Rogers Center in Toronto. The win to David Price.
There you go. The big story, of course, Jackie Bradley Jr.
Homer.
With his first home run of the season. I feel it. I feel the surge coming on. I feel one of those months coming on.
How about the fact that he hit the home run on that whole 99th pitch deal they had?
Is that the first time it's ever worked?
Yes, it is.
Maybe.
The first time this year, I know for a fact, because I heard Joe talking about it. But just imagine if the bases were loaded, because if the bases are loaded, you win $100,000.
But how about if you hear your name? That's Christian Fauria. You are the contestant. Jackie Bradley can hit a home run at 99th pitch.
Can I get Michael Chavis?
You're like, can you get one pitch? Can you get out to the next guy? Got a shot away.
Yeah, what happens if you get a hit by pitch? What does that get you?
And he hit a bomb.
Get a free hot dog?
About it. $999.
If I hear my name in that situation.
That the Red Sox will face. See if Bradley hits one out here. It's going to be $999 for James Simpson, who's
James
our contestant
Simpson.
Today.
Now
the set pitch on the way. Swung on, lifted in the air toward left field. Hit pretty good. Going back to the track, wall.
Good.
He looks up, and that ball is gone. It's out of here.
Jackie's on fire.
Bradley goes the other way. An opposite field home run to make it 8-2 Red Sox.
Well, that has to feel great for Jackie.
Great.
Wait, hold on.
Hold on.
That guy, is that Mpemba?
Yeah. Yes.
Sounds just like our guy Sheridan, the guy from Kansas City.
This will be the 99th pitch now. See if Bradley hits one out here.
Butera last year.
You're trying too hard.
This guy.
So Pomeranz.
Mario's not like that.
With an earned run average of over seven.
Listen, Pomeranz. If you don't stop now, that's who you're going to turn into.
Pomeranz.
Okay? What do you think that other guy, Danny Sheridan, or Matthews, what do you think he sounded like when he was in his 20s?
I don't know how old Pomeranz is.
That's a squirter off the bat.
I would agree. This might
be 99th pitch.
This might be the first time that James Simpson has actually heard that he won $999. Break. Shut the radio off when he found out that his guy
was
Jackie
James,
Bradley
you're good. Jr. You're good. Check it in.
Oh,
Sox
God.
Rolling up north of the border.
Oh, God.
On Victoria
Day. Do they suck?
The guy's getting healthy. Pitch.
Right. $999 first winner of the year.
Let me just say this
because I don't want to piss off Lou today. Because remember all last summer Lou got pissed off when you beat up on the sucky teams.
Yep.
And he gets all worked up about the thing.
So they count.
They do count, Lou, and you need to beat the sucky teams because you need to accumulate your number of wins. But the American League, we're not even to Memorial Day yet. The American League is over.
Yes.
It is done with.
Yep.
Okay?
Houston, now, New York,
right.
Boston.
Six teams are vying for five spots right now.
Yes.
That's it. It's done. It's over. So even though the Red Sox got off to that pathetic start, and people were calling us up and saying, why aren't you being more negative about them? Because the league sucks. There are so many sucky teams out there, and they do count, Lou. I get it. Beating a sucky team counts. But the problem is there are so many of these sucky teams. For an example, remember Seattle got off to that great start?
Yeah, they suck.
Where are they now? They're in last place in their division. Last freaking place.
It's baseball. It's fun. It's exciting.
And Houston gets to play in that division. They're going to win 105
They're the only team in their division with a winning record.
That's right.
Nobody else has a winning record. There are only six teams with winning records in the whole league.
I would agree. You're talking about six teams probably vying for five spots.
Five? That's what I just said.
Yeah, I would agree.
Six going for five.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Is that really that much different? In the NBA, if there was only, like, you know, six teams in each, wouldn't it be over? Wasn't it over? Didn't you know who the top five were in the NBA, in the Eastern Conference, in the Western Conference, the whole freaking
you know
time?
What? You know what?
Yeah, they're...
You know what?
Yeah.
You're right, because I feel
they're
like
a little
we
bit more
do this.
They're
we
more
do
competitive.
This. We do this every year.
In the NFL, like after, say, week... where are we at now? Week five?
Oh, you're early here.
Yeah, okay. I'm just...
Yeah, how many, a little early for the NFL.
Say, about week five, you don't sit there and say, all right, I mean, there's six teams make the playoffs. You can eliminate probably four or five in each conference already, can you?
Yeah, but I would say it's early in the NFL.
No, we do this every year. You're right. I remember having the same exact conversation last year. Oh, this team sucks. This team's tanking. Oh, there's no competition. Oh, you know, what are you going to give them credit for beating up on crappy teams?
That's
yes,
not baseball.
You should give them credit for beating up on crappy teams because average to below average teams usually take one on the chin every now and then to some crappy team and they lose and they shouldn't.
Yes.
Because they can't focus. They don't do the right, they don't make the right plays. They sleepwalk through the game and they end up losing a game they should win.
Yeah.
So fine. So the division sucks. You're basically just prepping yourself to beat Houston,
for the playoffs.
New York. I mean, really, I'm just
going to
leave it at that.
I'll tell you this. The teams that win the division, the team that has the best record, they're not going to win the division because they beat up on the Yankees and Red Sox.
No, they beat up on the crap.
You're not going to win a division if you beat up on the Yankees and Tampa.
Right.
Or Houston or whatever it is. You're going to win a division by not being 2-1 against Toronto now, right. 4-3 against Baltimore. You know, you're 2-2 against Detroit, 4-3 against a bad Seattle team. You're 1-2 against a bad Arizona team. That's why you're in third place.
Yeah, that's why these games count.
That's what I mean. So last year it was just like, oh, great, they're just beating up on these teams. Well, yeah, and that's why you win a division because you beat the teams you're supposed to beat.
Yeah, I think it's bad for baseball that you go the entire summer, and we're going to be looking right now at can they win a division? And if you don't, if you fall behind by six games in the division, guess what? You're going to sit there and say, we're good. It's okay. We'll just play the playing game.
First,
we'll
okay. You know what? Hey, I heard the Celtics. The Celtics, when they made the playoffs, they just flipped the switch. They just said, so, you know, we're gonna do the same thing. Don't follow the Celtics. Do not do what they did. It sucks and it doesn't work.
Right. So now the Sox are what, 19-9, I think it is, or something like that now, or 15-4, or what, 19-9, I think, since their awful start. So, they'll be there in the end. Kind of figured they would be there in the end.
Yeah,
I think you saw a locked-in team over the weekend that you lost 2 out of 3 to. Could have easily won 2 out of 3. I still think that team's going to have the Houston Astros going to have the best record in the American League. I think they're built for it. They're built with a crazy lineup that they'll do what the Red Sox just did to most teams, and they'll have a bullpen to close out some of the interesting games that they should win. Their rotation is strong. But on a weekend series like that, yeah, you lost 2 out of 3. It's a good team.
Yeah, and if I was to tell you before the season started that Marcus Walden and Chavis would be basically your heroes,
Walden 6-0.
How is he 6-0? And what is Sales? Sales got one win.
1-5.
Sales got one win.
Walden's pitch well.
No, yes. He's pitched great. Yeah. And Chavis, obviously.
But the wins are situational, right? He comes in the right time.
True.
That's all it is.
But he's still, I mean, that's why it's so weird when you look at, and we've had this discussion so many times, wins and losses, like what does it really mean? You know, who is he going against compared to Sale? And, you know, what happens to the offense? Does he get any support? Does he not get any support? But Chavis, I didn't want to do this to you, Lou, but if this was in the NFL.
Are we having this talk?
He'd have a little, Chavis would have a little red sticker in his locker saying, hey, see the P guy. Go see the guy with the cup. Go pee in that cup. We want to make sure 100% legit.
It's funny. Nobody
this
around
guy's
here.
Insane.
Nobody around here.
Nobody's mentioning
that. No, nobody's talking about that.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, I actually hate the fact that I'm doing it.
Yeah, no big deal.
I hate the fact that I'm doing it because I feel like it's so easy to go. Oh, it must be drugs. It is insane, is it not?
Yes. Yeah, you just put the needle right in your ass and boom.
Yeah, it is. It's insane. I mean, he hits five of the longest home runs that the Red Sox have, but I don't, you know, right now, I don't care. Hopefully, I don't care what he's doing.
But aren't
hopefully
they going
he's smarter
to...
about it than last year, because last year he got popped for 80 games.
Oh, see, okay, so what are the rules now for him this year? If he got popped last year
first-time
for 80
offender.
Games, he's a first-time offender.
He's in the big leagues.
Done? They treat minor leaguers differently.
It's 80 games, and he can't play in the playoffs.
So when does he get dismissed and disqualified?
I don't know. That's like the 30th. No, I don't know what it is. Second or third time. No, what he's been insane. And today, home run, 389.
Well,
he was like, oh, would you get that off the end of the bat? Because everything he hits is 450.
Yeah, he doesn't get a cheap home run.
You hang anything to him, anything at all, slider, curve, whatever it is, anything, in the middle of the plate, he just hits a bomb. Just an absolute rocket. And it's they absolutely need it. That lengthens out their lineup. They got one hole in their lineup when everybody's right and playing.
Talk about a linked out lineup. How about that Houston lineup?
Yep.
Oh,
same thing.
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
But they don't have Even without Altuve.
And who's out now? Springer's out now? Man. Hopefully he's out when they play what? Don't they play next week?
Yeah, next weekend
down in Houston. I don't think, to me, it wasn't a bad weekend considering the team you were going up against, what you were doing on Friday night, because Friday you're going with Velasquez. To me, that's never a good
Saturday.
Thing.
Yeah,
that's
you
a,
do that.
Saturday. That's a bullpen game. So Porcello was good except for that one inning, right? So he hurt you in one inning. And then, of course, you know, the price keeps you in the game. He keeps you in the game. And you end up pulling out one out of the three. I don't think it was that bad this weekend against that lineup, bullpen.
I'll take it all day long.
The one thing that still worries me, and you can look at this bullpen, and the bullpen's been good for the last 2 or 3 weeks, the Red Sox bullpen. Does anybody want to match it up with that Houston bullpen? Anybody want to match it up with that Yankee bullpen? And they've had injury problems, okay? The Yankees have had physical issues. The Houston bullpen, and everybody throws the ball 100 miles an hour.
Well, I thought it was interesting because remember we talked about, you know, when you're 17-2, when you win 108 games and you can come out and admit that you made some mistakes, it's a lot easier to do than when you're scuffling at the beginning of the year. And will Alex admit it? You hear him Friday night after the game? So Rick Porcello throws a gem. I mean, it was just, that was an unbelievable game, especially when you talk about this lineup. They all came in, good hitters, 1 through 9. You know, your 8-hole hitters, your catcher, who's the best offensive catcher in baseball. Your 9-hole hitters, Mariznick, who's hitting .313. Reddick's hitting 7th. He's leading the league in hitting. That's your 7, 8, 9. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And they don't strike out.
And they
out.
All came in hot. Like Springer in like the month of May. Bregman in the month of May. Brantley was 2nd in the league in hitting. They came in hot, and this dude just shoved for 7 innings. And he went out in the 8th, and he threw one of the worst pitches, the worst pitch of the night, spinning slider to Mariznick.
Yeah.
And he left him in to face Springer, and this is what you got from Cora after the game.
Hitting in terms of where Rick was at.
That was a bad decision. That was a bad one from the get-go. I mean, that's the best lineup in baseball. He goes 7. Every pitch is high leverage. You know, he did his job. You know, and you know, the whole thing about one hitter, get him out, what's the point, you know? And we have the best player in baseball right now with a man in second and no outs. That's on me. That's not on Rick. So I just made a bad decision, put him in a bad spot, and we pay the price.
I like that. Take all the pressure off the pitcher. I like it.
So wait, nobody said anything about...
I don't think it's necessary, though.
What, for him to say that?
No. Bertrand Cook is right on the middle.
Oh, no. I think it most definitely is.
He had 90 pitches, man.
Yeah, but he's at least...
No, but he's... But,
he's
but,
consistent
but,
with his
but
message.
But he's doing the right thing, and the way he's saying it.
He is.
Lou,
he's taking the bullet.
Even if he's sitting there behind closed doors saying, damn it, one
you know
bad
what he should have said, because the real mistake was having Brazier up in that 7th. So 1-0, whatever the score was, I forget what the score, but they had, when they had the lead, Brazier was up, and it was like, really going to use Brazier to protect this if he gets in trouble? I mean, if somebody gets on, it's 1-2-3, and you're going to have Brazier do it?
Gosh, Brazier has thrown the ball great for
him. I mean, he's lost right now. Gave him a little, try to get a confidence inning today out here in Toronto, but Barnes should have been the guy. And then Mariznick gets a hit. Now you bring in Barnes, you know, throwing the ball the way he is against that meat of the lineup. The problem, you know, wasn't necessarily leaving. When I saw Brazier out there, I'd say I'd much rather let Porcello stay in this game in the 8th than have Brian Brazier come in right now. That would have been bad, but you talk about the bullpen. They're leaking a little bit. They're man dry. They got 3 or 4 guys out there that just you saw on Saturday. Everyone that pitched on Saturday, they don't trust. Every single have 4 guys out there. They don't want to throw. That's a problem.
Well, you tell me. Do you trust the bullpen?
No, I
they've
trust
been good
three
the
guys.
Last 2 weeks.
I trust 3 guys.
I don't trust them either.
There's 5 other guys out there. I don't want to see.
No, I don't trust them.
So
either.
I mean, you know.
No, and they may be looking at it saying, well, can we get to the postseason? Because once we get to the postseason, we've learned that we could. There are ways around your bullpen. You can use starters. You can use some people. Okay, I buy that. They've already proven that that can work. But you got to get there. You got to get there. And I think they're looking at it saying, we're going to get into the playoffs anyway. To me, you still got to make that run to win the division.
What's interesting to me is that Friday before that series started, there was a little meeting of the minds. And Cora kind of downplayed
it. What minds? Who's?
Well, Cora, Dombrowski, and ownership.
Yeah.
And they downplayed like this. You know, we do this a lot. I just thought, and I think it was made public. I don't even know.
Anyways, just made it public.
Whatever.
David Dombrowski.
And it's just a meeting, but I just thought the timing of it was interesting. Because to me, it's like you spend the first 2 months trying to figure out if what you have is enough. And if you got to make a tweak for the next 2 months, Now you get to the All-Star. Now you get to the trading deadline, right? So you're basically 2 months into the season, essentially. Do we have enough? Do you have a guy out there that you trust? What are we doing with Weber, Thornburg, Smith, Velasquez, Hembree? What are we doing? Do you have three guys out there? Because we can't keep doing this.
Yeah, I always thought.
So what is that? What was that discussion? Was it, what are we doing with the bench? We got three guys on the bench, and none of them can hit. Everybody's screaming for Jackie Bradley to come out of the lineup. What, so Pierce can hit? So what? So Leon can catch and Vasquez can DH. So Leon's bats it. Like what? There's nothing. Now you got Holt and Pedroia coming back. So I wonder if that meeting was also, should we do something now, add an arm, and find out in the next 2 months if that's enough. So then we can make another evaluation at the July 31st deadline. So I wouldn't be surprised if you go see them get something.
Yeah, I think it's fool's gold if they think that this bullpen is going to continue to pitch the way it's been pitching. And you're right. Even though Pierce started to hit yesterday and then again today, I'm with you.
Yeah, everybody did.
Yeah. I mean, Jackie Bradley Jr., it's a home run today. Come on. But the bullpen is still the concern. Still the concern. But what are we getting worried about? Six teams are vying for five spots. They're in. You know, it could be that Cleveland is the team that might end up being out because they've got some injury problems right now. Maybe they go and become sellers when they get to the trading deadline, say, screw this year, let's go for next year. Now you're dealing with five teams that are already locked up.
Red Sox!
Yeah. Yeah, it could very well happen. But, I think you asked me on Friday before the game, this bullpen, you're disappointed in this bullpen. And here's the scary thought. Where were you before the season started with this bullpen?
Scared of the bullpen.
All right.
I've got it on tape if you want to hear it.
Has Barnes been better than anticipated?
Yes.
Has Workman been better than anticipated?
Yes.
Has Marcus Walden come out of nowhere?
Yes.
So who is the one that's actually disappointed you? Brazier?
Brazier.
Okay.
Brazier.
And he was good for the first month.
Yes.
So all this is going on, and it's still not good enough, and you've actually had three pleasant surprises, and it's still not good enough.
Right.
What does that tell you?
Tells you that it's not good enough.
Like, it's actually gone better than you think.
Yes, much better.
And as good as it's been going with some of these guys individually, it's still not enough.
Yeah, when the beginning of the season.
Yeah, when the starters were failing you, and you were having trouble producing runs, it was your bullpen that was kind of keeping it together.
Yep.
I just don't see it lasting.
Well, here's the thing.
When your
rotation goes out there and gives up 5 or 6, and you're down 6-1, you ask any reliever you'll ever meet in your entire life, is it easier to pitch when you're down 6-1?
Yeah.
And they'll say, yeah, you kidding me? I'll put up zeros left and right. So the bullpen ERA, in my mind, in April, is skewed because everybody kept coming in down 4 or 5. It's a lot easier to pitch down 4 or 5 than up 2 or 3 and protecting it.
Well, and you've got a lot of arms. They have shuttled arms back and forth to Pawtucket. You've got extra arms out there. You tell me, you start playing close games against good teams, and you don't have guys that can come out and pinch it in the 8th or 9th inning because you've got too many arms in the bullpen. You tell me that doesn't eventually
start to cost you. You've got Nunez DHing.
It's going to cost you.
I mean, you got Chavis in there. I mean, not Chavis. You got Pierce in there. Leon in there. Nunez, that's your bench. And people can sit there and scream from the rooftops about getting Jackie Bradley out of the lineup. For what? Who are you going to put in? And they don't think it through. Because just put Chavis in left. Or just put JD in left. Okay, who DHs? Pierce? Who plays second? Nunez? He's a train wreck defensively. And he ain't hitting. Neither is Pierce. Neither is Leon. So Jackie Bradley stays right where he is. You hope he gets hot until you start seeing Brock Holt get healthy. Then you can start having some discussions. Pedroia, God forbid if he ever does. But right now, there's no depth and there's no reason to push Jackie out of the lineup because the guy that replaces him has got a lower batting average than he does. Right?
Yeah.
So you need depth. Yep. You got nothing.
No,
they got
crazy.
Three relievers they like, and they got 9 starters that they like. Actually, 8 of them are hitting. And other than that, they got 4 guys that can't hit, and they got 5 guys who can't pitch in the pen.
You know what you're going to end up with at the end of the year? You're going to end up with 3 of the best teams. Houston probably is the best team in the American League. And then your next 3 teams are going to be the 3 teams in the AL East. And 2 of them are going to have to face each other off in the play-in game.
Yep.
That's what you're going to end up with. You could get Red Sox-Yankees in a play-in game.
And the winner plays Tampa.
Yes.
Well, Houston's going to go out there and you never know. Actually, Minnesota's rolling. Who knows?
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. But Houston's loaded right now.
Yeah,
look at them. And starting pitching, you didn't even get Verlander over the weekend. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines at 617-779-7937. That's 617-779-7937 coming on today after the game. Field Yates reporting the Patriots have re-signed Danny Shelton. There you go.
Hold on.
Danny Shelton.
He said run stuffing Danny Shelton.
Oh, boy.
I wouldn't. Sometimes
I don't know.
Sometimes that, he's that able
was a,
to stuff
that was a. I mean, for what is this going to run in line with all the other signings that with no guaranteed money? Yeah, they signed, but he's got a $25,000 signing bonus, $50,000 signing bonus. Let's find out what that looks like before we get excited about
Dude,
it.
Yeah, exactly. You know what's funny? A year ago at this time, people were calling up screaming about Tom Brady not showing up for OTAs, how it's going to mess them all up, how they had all these new receivers. Of course, those receivers never made the team, so it kind of became irrelevant. So now you fast forward a year to today. You've got the OTAs. You've got the passing camp.
Yep. Yep.
You got no Tom Brady. You've got no tight ends that have ever played with Tom. Well, I take it back. Ben Watson played with him a zillion years ago.
They're on the same page.
You have to be reintroduced.
Yeah, no, yep, no Edelman.
And you have, yeah, right? And you have, and you have no, the wide receivers have no idea, including a first-round draft pick, have no idea what catching the ball off the arm of Tom Brady. And is anybody pitching?
Nope. No, and it's funny because you first round, you have a receiver. For the first time in a long time, you have a receiver that would really benefit, right? And this is the same conversation we have every year. Wow, we talk about the reps and the importance of learning and the nuances and everything. Oh, man, just the cadence and the tone of his voice. And wow, what he wants to – that's you need to be there, Tom. Well, Tom's throwing with Edelman. Like, looks like in his backyard somewhere.
Yeah, backyard.
So – just, I guess, whatever. Like,
why,
I don't
why
care.
Waste the, why waste
yeah, it
the
doesn't
time?
Matter.
Why waste the time?
No. Why
like
waste your time?
Here's the
thing. We sit there, we talk about.
I still say no. I still say no, it doesn't matter.
Well, here you go. Didn't matter last year.
I know it didn't matter last year. But let me ask you, do you think that this wide receiver first round pick would benefit having Tom Brady there throwing him footballs, talking
yes.
to him?
Yes. Yeah, probably.
All right, so I know. Does
He's
it matter in the big scheme of things? But maybe in the development of this kid, does it matter? Yes, it matters. Yes, it does.
It doesn't matter.
I know. Okay, but. Okay. Would he be better? N'Keal Harry, would it be better if Tom was throwing a football?
You would think so, but maybe he's.
How could it not be? How could it not be better?
What's up, guys?
I don't see how it cannot be better, but I think we waste our time because I think there's enough time during the summer for them to figure it all out. Matter of fact, last year you had a guy come in after week three. And he found a way of making a connection with Tom Brady. And this guy pointed out he could only do two routes, and it didn't make a difference. He and Brady figured it out.
Yeah, but I think you want a little bit more for your rookie. I think you would want a little more.
You would think so. But, again, is it going to make a difference?
So you have Brian Hoyer, you have Danny Etling, and you have Stidham. Those are your quarterbacks right
Stidham's
now.
Stidham's going to get
some more. So Hoyer is basically, you know, telling those guys what to do.
Yeah.
He's Brady.
Yeah.
That's what that's
He's
what
not
he
Brady.
I honestly do. I remember thinking that it was a big deal.
It's
just it makes the his return just that much cooler.
No, I think
when he finally arrives, Brady's in the building. Brady's in the building.
You know what though? It's tough to work on a go route when your quarterback can't reach you.
No, but
he will be invited to Montana. They will rent mountain bikes. They will, barbecue and tell stories, and then there will be a bonding session.
I would love to sit here and tell you that, as Lou just pointed out, logically, it makes sense to sit here and debate this point because you're sitting here going, if Tom Brady does not get the throw to these receivers don't understand Tom Brady during this session, you're really setting him back a little bit. But as we found out last year, it doesn't make a difference.
No, it doesn't.
We're wasting our time.
And what year
even
is this?
Even though 20? it really is a logical argument. But we're wasting our time.
Okay, so, I mean, we don't need to get into the conversation
Logic
about it.
Logic doesn't work with that.
It doesn't. And I think the other thing is that
Stop laughing.
There is a... almost a new mentality when it comes to the NFL season, as opposed to the way it used to be. There used to be this throw as much stuff in practice. You got to be ready day one. So we're gonna have 6 weeks of camp. We're gonna have four preseason games. We're gonna be in pads all the time, and then because that first 3-4 weeks are the most important. I don't think it is anymore. I think most of these teams, especially the Patriots. They just their clock now is just so different as opposed to when do they want to peak?
I almost can predict right now what's going to happen, and then they're going to be shaky in the first 3 or 4.
But
games.
Everyone is,
and we're going to. And we're going to sit here and say, "Oh my God, could this be the year that they finally fall off the cliff? Is this the year?"
No, it won't
we're
going to
do the same stupid.
It won't happen.
Argument
they're not falling off a cliff.
Weeks.
Tom Brady's going to be successful.
Not going anywhere.
But the rookie wide receiver would benefit if he was there. Yes,
I mean
you
that's,
don't want to hear about cliff.
Okay, but that's.
Cliff.
Yes.
It is a
would
fact.
But yes.
Get ready for it.
Who would say no?
Well, Rory, it says.
Well, you know, people would say
Glenn
it doesn't matter.
Says doesn't matter.
It's logic.
But it would
but
help.
It doesn't matter.
Of course it would help.
Okay, if it helps, then it matters. It would most definitely help this guy to listen to the sound of the play being called from 100%.
Okay, then I'll give you the flip side of it, because I was on your side of this a year ago. The flip side of it would be Tom Brady is the guy that you worry and are concerned the most about. 42 years of age, he needs additional time off right now. He needs that time.
It's more mental break than anything.
Exactly. He needs the mental time off right now. And so it's more important for Brady than it is for the 20-year-old receiver. The 20-year-old receiver will pick up on it. There'll be enough days during the summer for them to get on the same page. And maybe the first three or four games, they're a little shaky. But as we found out with Josh Gordon last year, you can bring somebody in after week three, and eventually they'll figure it out with Tom Brady. It is more important that Brady gets the time off with the family and get his head clear. More important than anything. And without Tom Brady, what are you? You're Hoyer, and you're 7-9.
You know, 7-9. Yeah. Are you gonna give him 7 wins?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. You're gonna give him 7 wins.
Mm. Defense pretty good, and Belichick can coach.
They still win the division. 7-9.
Still win the division. Yeah, of course. The next team of the division will win five games. To the phones we go. Here's Dan. Dan's in Milton, Massachusetts. Hey, Dan.
Hey guys. So I wanted to just bring something up, and I don't understand why the Red Sox never figured out what to do with Blake Swihart. Because the thing that's concerning is when the offense gets lethargic and the guys who you named on the bench couldn't hit a map, you start seeing stuff like this where you have more than one player slumping, and it really starts to add up. I don't understand how they couldn't figure out what to do with Swihart. I think the kid's a very good player. Why couldn't you get him in catching some games, put him in the outfield some, give Martinez a break some, and figure it out, because this kid is a hell of a dynamic offensive player.
Inside the park home run the other night. Sorry, it was pretty exciting.
We're past that.
Doesn't even want to address
it. No, they don't. It's not that hard. Like, they didn't like him catching. They didn't trust him as a catcher.
Right.
And that was it.
So your pitching staff is more important than getting that bat in the lineup.
That's it.
Unless it's the greatest bat in the world.
Leone is more important than Blake Swihart.
And offensively, he wasn't. You know, if he was swinging a bat like Chavis, you think he would have been traded?
No.
If he was, swinging a bat like Devers, you think he'd be traded? If he was swinging a bat like Vasquez, you think he'd be traded? So there wasn't a bang for the buck. It wasn't, we're not benefiting enough offensively.
But he really didn't.
I don't think and this is just the way they're thinking. I'm telling you that they didn't trust him catching.
He didn't get a real opportunity to play every single
day. No, they screwed with him. Of course he didn't.
Exactly. And they sensed that he wasn't as good as they thought. But I saw the inside the park home run the other night. It was pretty exciting. Most exciting play in baseball. Have you ever seen inside
what?
The park inside the park
he's
home run?
He's got three down there, I think.
Yeah.
Now. But he's still
three home runs?
He's still hitting like .167.
Yeah, no, he's not hitting.
He's not playing. They traded him to a team, and he's the fifth catcher.
Right.
Fourth catcher. Like, there's no shot of catching there at all. You don't have to go to AAA.
No, I don't. I don't think he's the answer right now. I'm not buying in that he's the answer right now. To me, I'm still more concerned about that bullpen. I think
Is he wearing batting gloves now?
I don't know.
No, he's not wearing anymore.
I didn't look at the hands.
It's old school.
I didn't look at the hands. All right, 617-779-7937. We're going to give the Milton's code word for that great wedding special promotion that we've got going, where you get suits for all of the guys in your wedding party, and of course you get a little bachelor party over there in a luxury suite at Fenway Park. We'll give away that code coming up soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.